Good evening. This happened in Kenya, Mombasa. It was a Parents' Day. So all the parents went to the school. And when they went to the school, so the father, actually the parents had to sit with their children. So now the teachers goes up, they start calling up people, start calling up students who performed well. And so the teacher calls and said, Johnny did very well in maths. And all the parents clapped their hands and they were so, yeah. So the father looks at the son, is like, Awoni wa toto kama wewe. It's like, those are children like you. So, it's fine. Then they call, Jennifer did so well in history. And they clap their hands and the father still give that eye, you know. It's saying in the heart, Awoni wa toto kama wewe. So they carried on like that, all the subjects finished. And then they're walking home. Little John is walking with his father. And Jennifer drives off with her father in a Range Rover. So the son looks at the father and said, Daddy, Awoni wazazi kama wewe. So it's like, those are fathers like you. So, you know, just let's bow our heads and pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. This is a time we can talk, we can fellowship on your word. My God, there is power. There is healing, there is deliverance in your word, because your word is likened to a rock that breaks. Your word is likened to a fire, Father, that melts. Father, we bless you for your word. The Lord, it will bring correction, and it will straighten our path, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Those who have your Bible, you can lift it up and say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. I can be what he says I can be. And I can do what he says I can do. And tonight I'll be taught the word of God. I remember that confession. One of my pastors used to do it. I'm like, Lord, it's a very nice confession. So actually we're going to be doing our faith series. But we're doing the measures of faith. There is measures of faith named in the Bible. Right? Let's open our Bibles in Matthew 8, verse 5. I will read. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak your word and my servant will be healed. You hear that statement? The man said, I am a man not worthy that you should come under my roof. He understood the authority. He understood Jesus, the authority he carries. There's many times we don't understand the anointing or the power we carry ourselves in our lives. So this man understood the power Jesus carries. And he said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, but speak your word and my servant shall be healed. So if you read on, and in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith ever, even in Israel, not even in Israel. That I named it as great faith. Great faith. The man did not allow Jesus to come to his house. He just said, speak your word. Because he understood the authority, understood the power Jesus carries. It's like, just send your word, Lord, my servant will be healed. And Jesus was so pleased because he said, I have not seen such a kind of faith in Israel. Man, how many of us believe in God for things? You are believing God for something. You don't even want to tell your friend, but Lord, you know, you are believing God for something. I know I'm believing God for something. Sometimes I'm like, I want to get this money and even surprise my wife. I can blindfold her and take her to that place. I'm like, yeah, look what the Lord has done. It's me. Actually, I wanted, because faith without action is dead, right? Do you believe with me? I have not spoken to Pastor Zedi. I tried to call him. He's sick. I feel God is saying to me, as I'm sharing this, I was trusting God, and you know, many times, God will only do something if you do something. You have to do something. You're trusting God for a job. I know, maybe this church does not allow it, but I feel in our next class, just come with something. We'll put a basket here, we'll pray. But you know what? If you believe in God for a house, come with something. Put it in there. It's like, Lord, I'm giving. This is my seed. I know maybe the church doesn't do it, but I feel we have to do it, because why? It's our faith. You're trusting God for a job. You need to do something. That's faith. My faith is there. I shared with you last week, we spoke about Jacob. There was famine in the land, but Jacob had sown a seed. It might be famine in your life. You don't have a job, you're trusting God, actually living from hand to mouth. But you know what? Whatever it is, you just trust God with it. God was pleased with the widow who gave a kobo, a small thing. But Jesus was pleased with it. So God sees your heart. I'm not asking for whatever. But you feel led, please. We're going to pray together. We're going to trust God for that. Because that's faith. By faith, God will heal that sickness if you're trusting God to be healed. Because as you see the centurion has to tell Jesus, look here, you don't have to come to my house. Speak your word. And God will speak your word, because God and his word are one. We, even when we're praying, actually, you need to mention, Lord, you said. Remind him of his word. By faith, Lord, you said, I will lend it to many nations, but I shall not borrow. Whose word is this? Is this you who's saying? No, it's his word. You're reminding him. If you remind him, he will do it. He might take a month or a week or a year, but God always looks after his word. It's never early, it's never late. The Bible says that weeping may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. The joy will come. God will wipe your tears, and you'll forget. It's like, you know, when a woman giving birth, she's in pain, but when she sees the baby, she forgets the pain she's been through. So, that's faith. You remind God his word. One day, I faced with a situation. Actually, I was with my friend, so I decided, because I had a flat, there was two rooms, and I used to help guys. Like, there was one guy who used to study in South Africa, and he was from Botswana. So I called him in. Actually, my house used to be like, let me say, a refugee center, sort of. Because the young people and all these things, we used to carry home sales, do home sales and stuff. So I called him in one day. He said, I'm going to Botswana. Let's go together. You're not doing anything. So I go, reach the border. I don't know what they did. They suspected me, and they put me in jail at a police custody. I was there for a week, but when I was actually in jail, it was like revival broke up, because we are praying with prisoners, laying hands on them and all the stuff. One day I got up, I'm like, I was praying, and God gave me a scripture in Genesis 12. So, actually, these things of faith, they work. They work. But there is a price you pay in the walk of faith. Genesis 12, I just wanted to read it. No, is it 12 or 26? Genesis 26. Yeah. Genesis 26, verse 16. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. You are much mightier than we. So Isaac, after sowing in the land, all of a sudden God multiplied his seed. Remember, he sowed in faith. It was a famine. The Bible says that the famine which was in that on that time never happened in Israel. But Isaac said, look here, I think I have a revelation. Let me sow what I have. He put it in the ground. The Bible says he harvested 100-fold. Now, all of a sudden, hell broke loose because Abimelech doesn't want to go, nothing to do with him. And it happens. Let me tell you something. God can do things in your life, and even your friends close their doors to you. Because God is working on you. And all of us, we are work in progress. We're still on operation table of God. God is chopping off whatever he doesn't want. So, as I was praying in the morning, God gave me the scripture. 26 verse 16, he said, and it hit my spirit. I started telling the prisoners, I'm like, look here, I'm going out today. They laughed at me. I said, I'm going out today. And all of a sudden, 10 o'clock, I'm seeing the police was like, Romano, come out. We don't even know why you're here. They gave me my bag. They gave me my phones and my money. And as I reached the road, I got a truck, took me up to Johannesburg. And on my way, I received a phone call. My pastor, all of them, they were coming to rescue me from jail. So I tell them, look, you don't have to come. Stay in Johannesburg. Let me come there. So God, actually, there is things happening in our life for a purpose. If I wasn't in that jail, those guys would not have saved, got saved. And they got saved, plus they saw what God could do. Because they couldn't believe that I'm going out. Said, you're not going nowhere, I'm telling you. But when they called me, everyone's eyes was like, what? So, that's the God we serve. God can do anything at any time. He doesn't need for you to say, look here, Lord. Sometimes he does things and they blow your mind. So, that's the centurion faith, which is the great faith. So, Matthew 10 verse 5. Actually, I wanted to, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So, that's James' word. James 5. I can't even read my own handwriting, so that's how bad it is. Let's just go to Matthew. Matthew 10 verse 5 to 8. Matthew 10 verse 5 to 8. If you got it, please read it out for me. Matthew 10, verse 5 to 8. Sending the 12. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentile, and do not enter a city of Samaritan, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. So actually, that's the command. It's a command of faith, applies to everybody. It doesn't mean only Pastor Zeddy can lay hands on the sick. Did it say so? So long as you believe in Jesus Christ. Me, actually, with Maria or William, when I'm feeling, maybe I got flu or something, I'm like, look here, come pray for me. Jesus will heal me. What I'm actually putting in them is faith. There is a time whereby they don't have to run to a doctor first, they can run to Jesus first. So, even our children, you have to teach them. Laying hands on the sick or laying hands on the cripple is the commission. Jesus said, we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We will raise the dead. It's his words. So you going to hospital and putting your hands on the sick. I remember we used to go with my friends. We used to go to hospice. And there's these guys suffering with AIDS. You know, you see somebody like, really? Can God do this? But our work is what? To pray. I remember I prayed for one girl, she was in my home cell. She was diabetic, and the mother sent her money. They went and bought sweets. They went to the movies and all the stuff. All of a sudden, the girl went into coma. She was in ICU. ICU, and I went there and laid hands on her. As I came out of the door, she passed away. But you know what the devil said to me? Don't ever pray for somebody. And I felt so bad because this girl was only 16. 16 years old. I prayed with her. Okay, she was on a machine, but she passed away. And the devil speak those words in my ears. Now you can't do this no more. I had to say, look here, devil. It's not my doing. It's God. Because at the end of the day, it's not me who is healing. It's not any pastor who is healing. It's God's healing. We actually hands and feet of Jesus. Where Jesus cannot reach, you reach there. So that's actually faith. Faith is a cliffhanger, I always tell you. You standing on the edge, if the wind comes, blows, it's like there's people who I know, they believed God, they come and preach the word of faith, but they go home and they find their stuff being thrown out of the house, right? But they're speaking faith. They go to a congregation they're preaching to, and they find their stuff thrown out of the house. Does that mean you're going to say, Jesus, you know, stay here, I'd rather try out somewhere else? No. That's just a test. God can use that, turn that around for your own good. I've had one man who was believing God for a car, and he used to get his wife and the children, they're sitting at the back and he's driving. But you know what? That was his faith. Because faith without corresponding action is dead. And God provided him with a car. He gave it to him. Because God sees our faith. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you have to do something which you never done before. With faith. How many of you go with your children to the mall? Like little children. I'm not talking about the big ones. Even if maybe you're going to pick up bread and milk, you're like, you know, I have my 10,000, I need to pick up bread and milk. So, I will be there, I'm like, Maria came out with a chocolate, I'm like, oh my God. William came with a big packet of chips, because they know, my authority is here. Actually, before you attack me, you have to go through my daddy. So, the authority is here, he will pay. Doesn't ask that daddy got money, he knows. I'm under my authority. My father got the money. So just imagine you and God. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. You belong to him. If we can understand that, just you pray trusting God. Like a child, how a child trusts the father. That's why Jesus said, if your faith is like of a child. Because a child does not have a doubt. The child can come and stand here and jump. Will not say, hey, I might break my bone. That's faith. So that's what actually God wants us to be. He wants us to totally trust him and depend on him. I'm not saying we're going to be robots now. But God will hear you. And God only can. You have to give him something to work with. You have to start somewhere. If you feel God is telling you to pray for the sick, man, you will pray for the sick. I remember Kim Clement. Kim Clement made a statement. He said, look here, I messed up so many times giving a word of prophecy. I prophesied to a woman giving a baby boy and she gave a baby girl. She gave birth to a baby girl. But Kim Clement never stopped there. He got humiliated many times. But Kim Clement is a prophet who have seen. He will call you out of the congregation and tell you even the color of your house, the plot number, the road. That's how specific he is. But you know what? He messed up so many times. So if you messed up or if you tried a relationship and didn't work, don't say, you know, this relationship thing doesn't work for me. No, try again. That's faith. Faith will never, you never, cannot reach on the place and like, no, I have tried this, I have done this, I have done this. No. So, by faith you try it out and it will work. You have to be totally convinced that it's going to work. You know, like me, if I have flu, like now I have flu, I can only get cured by cold cup. I think even if I see it, I'll get, my flu will go.
Why? Because they trust cold cup. You can't bring the flu, what flu cup and all those things. They don't work. Because I finished the dose, I couldn't get flu cup, cold cup, and it didn't work. All is here. You get? That's how faith actually works. Now, John 2, verse 2 to 8. You all of you know this story. Right? You know the story of Mary? The first miracle of Jesus? John 2, verse 2 to 8. If you got it, you can read it for me. Okay. I see there is no Bible scholars. What's happening? Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, that wedding of Cana in Galilee. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Look at this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew the child she gave birth to. She knew the anointing he flows in. She came to him and said, "Look here, these people have run out of wine. It's like you are invited to the party. You got nothing to do with this party. Whether they don't have food, that's their problem." So now, Mary comes running to Jesus. He's like, I guess Jesus, because he didn't like limelight, he was sitting at the back. He said, "Son, these people have run out of wine." So Jesus, he said, "What got this got to do with me?" But Mary knew what Jesus is capable of doing. And Mary persisted. That's what I call persistent faith. Persistent faith is, I have prayed for a baby. I'm not pregnant. 1 month, year, another year came, but I'm still trusting God. That's persistent faith. I know God will do it for me. If he did it for Sarah, if he did it for my neighbor, I'm a child of God too. I am a daughter of God. I belong to him, so he can do it for me. That's persistence. You like a pit bull. You know a pit bull? Who knows a pit bull dog? That dog is very dangerous. I remember going to Karoo. There's one pastor. He gets the drug addicted children and put them in a rehab. We went there for a mission. It was like, man, it was terrible. The people I found there, and we are ministering there. So this man got, he had 99 pit bull. That was like 2,000. And every dog is given to one person. If you can be able to look after that dog, then you can create a relationship with the dog, and then you can be able to look after yourself. Because drugs is like, makes you lose your identity. You become nothing. So, what was I going to say? The Karoo. Yeah, this man had 96 pit bulls. And those dogs actually, if it bites, because it's a mixture of a lion, a tiger, and a dog, it locks the jaw cross, doesn't let it go. Pulls, doesn't let it go. And what they do actually, they put a stick in the bum to release, to open the mouth. They are very dangerous dogs. And they are territorial. If you have it, it might hurt your wife, and it loves you. So if you see maybe you're joking with your wife, or you know, it can attack her. So that's how bad it is. So to me, faith, persistence faith is like a pit bull. When it grabs, like, look here, I will not let it go. How many of you know Hannah in the Bible? Hannah was a woman of faith. Hannah prayed every time the mouth was moving, praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, because she had a mission. She couldn't conceive, but she had to trust God. So that's persistence faith. Mary persisted until Jesus, as we read further, Jesus did what? His mother said to the servant, "Whatever he say to you, do it." Let me tell you something. Whatever God tells you, do it.
if you're trusting God for something and you hear that small voice, maybe you're passing somebody creep on the street and God tells you, look here, you have to, if it means to go back, you need to do it. It's just being obedient. Have you ever like dropped a bottle of water, empty bottle of water on the street, and then you, like God tells you, man, you like, you go, you pick it back. Have you ever been in that situation? So that's actually how God speaks. And you have to be obedient to that small voice. So whatever God tells you to do, do it. If God told you to fast, fast. If God told you to pray, pray. If God told you, you look here, you have to leave your bed now and lay on the floor and pray. My sister, my brother, do it. Because God is up to something. If you're not, you're down to nothing, God is up to something. So God, when God wants to do something, He will speak. He will direct. And God will not speak to you about your house. No. God is a God of order. God cannot speak to me about this church. He will speak to Pastor Zeddy. God cannot speak to somebody else concerning to my house. No. God will speak to me because I'm the authority of that house. So God does not author confusion. God will speak to you. God will direct you. I'm telling you, and when God speaks, so long as you yielded to His word, He will do it. If He said, start a church and you start it, the people don't come, just remind of His word. It's not actually your calling. It is His calling. God called you. You are a yielded vessel, available. If He doesn't bring people, you remind Him. Tell Him, Lord, I'm quitting now. If you're not bringing people, let me go back to my business. I'm telling you. Just because it's His work. It's not Romano's church. It's not Pastor Zeddy's church. It's His church. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He never said, I'll build Pastor Zeddy's church. No, it's Jesus' church. Ecclesia. So, that's it. You have to be persistent in your faith, in your prayer. So, okay. By you being persistent, you will see things start getting burst out. The favor of God upon your life. Because you're like, Lord, I'm not going to let it go. I know what you have for me. Because He said it. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And He gave you ability to do what? To create wealth. Who said it? God. The Bible even says that the later days of Job was actually greater than the former days. I'm actually reminded of the four lepers at the gates. They had to speak to each other. They're in a situation. Their lives are messed up. But they had to speak to each other to encourage each other. They say to themselves, it's like, if I stay here, I will die. If I go to the city, they will kill me. But let me do what? Let me go. So if you're in that situation, sometimes people will say you're crazy. I'm telling you, me, when I was trusting God for my family, many people, actually they thought maybe I'm gay or something. But I knew what I'm trusting God for. Because I had to fight with my father's devils in order for me to be where God wanted me to be. My dad, man, was a seed planter, planted seed all over. I didn't want to go into those devils. Because my children too, that same demon was going to claim onto them, cling onto them. So in order for me to cut it off, what do I have to do? I have to go back and honor the way for my youth. It wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't easy at all. Because let me tell you something. You find somebody and those girls in South Africa, they're so forward. They see you in church. They think you're a man. You are the perfect one. Lifted your eyes. They see your hands up. They see tears rolling in their eyes. They're like, man, this is a man to take. But they don't know what you have in your closet. So they'll come to you and say, look here, I have a job. I'm actually a chemical engineer. I earn this amount of money. I have two cars. I have two houses. I just want you.
Let me tell you something. You either go with that and have fun for a year, get kicked out of the house, divorce number one, or you go the way God wants you to be. I'm telling you, it's easy. It's like two ways to heaven. The small road and a bigger one. So it's you to make choice. And that's actually where faith, that's persistent faith, is you have to pray. Even when you're praying in the spirit, you're praying in tongues. It's like you're having your gun pointed on something. You can't just shoot all over. You're praying in the spirit. You're like, Lord, I see it and I believe it. Me, I'm trusting God for a house. I have lands, but I need a house. So whatever I'm praying now, I'm seeing is what? It's a house. So let me let that cat out of the cage. That's what I'm believing God. And I want to do it. Maybe even I'm like, I get the money, I buy the house, I won't even tell my wife, and do it up, and then I blindfold her and take her there. I'm like, look, this is a house. So that's what I'm believing God for. You might be believing God for a lot of things, maybe business, maybe job. But it's you have to, man, to persist. You have to pray and trust God. I know God will do it. He will do it because He had done greater things in my life. What is that? God can speak to any man or any woman. There's people who got houses like, man, I can't sleep, but God told me to give you this. I have seen God do it. Let me tell you something. Me, I went to Bible college. I never even had money to study in Bible college. The Bible college, they were paying 9,000 rands, whereby I was not working because I was studying. So they had to pay, somebody had to pay. God had to speak to somebody to pay it. And I don't even know up to now who paid. He paid for my diploma. He paid for my master's. I didn't even know. So God can do anything at any time. So what we have to do is to yield ourselves to Him. Totally trust in Him. So we see that when the servants brought out the vessels, what did he do? Verse 6. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stones, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pot with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And they said to them, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had to taste the water had that was made wine, and did not know where it came from. Look at that. Jesus tells Mary, my time has not yet come. But after she persisted, seen the faith, and that's what God is looking for. To see your faith. If you pray and He does not answer, are you going to leave God? Say, no, you know, the church thing doesn't work. Let me put Jesus in the corner. Go to Egypt. I'll come back and pick Him up. No. You have to stand. Mary stood on her word, told the servants, fill the pots, and to test it was wine. So that's what I call persistent faith. Another level of faith. Number 3. So Matthew 17 verse 2. It's a little faith. Actually, I think I have a mustard seed in my Bible here. You know the mustard seed, how it looks? Have you ever seen a mustard seed? How it looks? It's very thin. But Jesus said, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and it will obey. Just imagine, if you have that kind of faith, and you're trusting God for that job, or you're trusting God for that promotion, let me tell you something.
all things are possible with God. Me, I remember like when I'm facing situations, because we had this pastor who was 75 and the wife was 70. So every time she come on the stage, she will grab the mic from there. She come and singing, "Nothing is impossible when you trust in the Lord." So everything is possible. And she come with a squeaking voice. She can't hold a tune. But let me tell you something. Every time I go through the situation, those words rings in my head. There is nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. All things are possible with God. God can do anything at any time. I remember Crawford Dollar saying that God's miracle actually is like boom. You see my brother here today. He can come tomorrow, park his Jaguar there out, down, and he's like, "Man, I think this man is a drug dealer." But God has done it. God has done it. Because God's miracle is boom. You changed. Because he doesn't need you for you to say, "Now, do it, Lord. It's your time has come. Time has come." So God can do it. And it's us who say, "Look here, Lord. I need it. And I need it now." So Matthew 17 verse 20. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and it will move, and nothing is impossible for you." Look, I'll give you some scriptures. Luke 17, 5 to 6. I'll read 6. "So the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, "Be pulled up by the root and be planted to the sea," and it will obey." So what is it, that situation you're going through, my sister or my brother? God cannot pull from the root. Is it so big for you? It's too big for you because you have not handed it over to Jesus. It is huge. It's very big. You have not handed it over to God. Let me tell you something. Many times we come to God, we give him like, "Lord, I can give you this, but I will stay with this." God wants you to give everything to him. Cast all your burdens unto the Lord. Everything, whether you got hurt by your dad, whether your dad did something wrong, stop blaming it on him. Just quit and surrender everything to God. If your family, nobody ever owns a car, don't say, in our family or in our lineage, nobody ever owned a car. Nobody ever built a nice house. That was them. Now it's you. Speak word of faith. Because it's you. You can do anything so long as you can trust God. So, there's nothing too hard or too big for God. God can do it. God can do it. God can restore broken marriage. Maybe you hear saying, "Look here, my marriage is on the verge, like maybe tomorrow, next week, we're signing a divorce." God can cancel that and reunite, bring reconciliation to that relationship. So, trust in God, my brother. Trust in God, my sister. He's the source of everything. Okay, Mark 11, 12 to 23. You will read most of other scriptures. The story of the fig tree which Jesus cast when he didn't find a tree. Jesus cast the fig tree because the fig tree was not bearing anything. Are you bearing a fruit? Do you have a fruit? Are you bearing a fruit? If you are bearing a fruit, let me tell you, bearing a fruit as a Christian, we Christians is speaking to somebody about Jesus, inviting them to church, just bearing a fruit. There is nothing in my life ever could make me happy like seeing somebody giving their life to God. Never. I cannot trade it to anything. like speaking to somebody, I'm like, look here, my brother, Jesus loves you. And I pray with them that I cannot. Because that's why the Bible even say, he that wins souls is wise. And he will shine as the bright man of the stars or something. So, that's bearing fruits. Actually, one preacher said, Jesus, why he cast the fig tree? Because Adam used the fig tree leaves to cover himself. So, anyway. So, then 20:22 of Mark says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever said to this mountain, the same scripture, be moved and cast into the sea, has no doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he say will be done. Whatever you say in your prayer, it can't be done. It shall be done. Because you put your faith in God. Because you trust in God. Because you totally depend on him. Let me tell you something. God had to become my father. I didn't know about my dad. I didn't see him. But he had to become my father. Even when I'm praying, I don't say, Lord, do this. I say, Daddy, you have to do this for me. I know you can. Maybe the timing is not, but you will do it. Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you something. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous man and woman. So, cast all your care to God. Trust in him. Depend on him. You might have to sacrifice some time in prayer, in fasting. But you know what? God is doing something. Remember your work in progress. You know, it's very easy. You get saved. You start going to church. But where it hurts mostly, when God gets the chisel, it's like, man, I don't want that lying on. Get the chisel and the hammer. Start heating it up. Breaking it off. Say, now, I don't like that cheating on. So, those things hurts. But let me tell you something. It's God's doing. Because God wants you from glory to glory. When the Bible says, when God looks and sees, said, have you considered my servant Job? So now, instead of saying Job, we can say, have you considered my servant Pastor Zeddy? So, that's how God is proud of us. It's like, you know, when you go with your son to play the ball, and he kicks the ball, you have to look at the daddy if the daddy saw him. That's how God actually. I'm telling you. Those things, there are things which I couldn't understand. Like, God inscribing my name in the palm of his hand. The Bible says that the number of my hair, even if on Sundays I cleaned my head, but he knew how many it was and what I took off. Can you just imagine that? Can that at least change your faith in God? God knowing you. The Bible says that before you're formed in your mother's belly, he knew you. He appointed you a prophet to the nation. Just imagine that. Whether you're born of wedlock or you're born in a family in marriage, still, let me tell you something. God is not looking on what you did yesterday. He's looking on what you're doing now. Now, what are you doing? Quit blaming your parents. Stand as a woman and man of God and trust him. Amen. Can we pray together? Anyone, you are here, you never given your life to God. Maybe I've been talking about Jesus, you're like, I wonder which this man is talking about. If you're here, I would love to pray with you. If you're here, you never knew about Jesus. Because that actually, the best important thing. You know, I had fundraised to do a crusade. And in this crusade, only one person got saved.
And that one old lady was Chrissy. Chrissy is an old white woman. They are very old, and even the husband. But Chrissy, every time you're walking, going to church, you find Chrissy staggering, drunk. But always Chrissy is like, Romano, come here, my son. I'm telling you, Chrissy got saved. Even now, she's the one SMS me scriptures. Like, look at what God is saying to me, son. I'm like, man. But you know what? It took to fundraise that money, to get a sound system, to do the crusade, and only one person got saved in that area, Chrissy. So, for one person to get saved, the Bible says that the heavens stand still and they hold a party. For just one person. That's how important you are to God. Remember the prodigal son when he came home? They had to kill the fatter cow. That's what God does. So if you're here, you want us to pray together. Man. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Can we put our hands on our head? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I have heard your word. They have spoken faith to me. I speak to my mind. I speak to my mouth. That my mouth will speak the word of faith. My mind will meditate on the word of God. Lord, I thank you that you'll give me a clean heart. My eyes will see in the heavenly realm. They will see in the spirit. Because with the spirit, you conceive it, and then you get it in the natural. Father, we thank you, we bless you. I worship you for every man and woman here, Father. I bless you, Father God. The Lord, you have given us a time to share with them. My God, let what I have shared, my God, be a seed which will germinate into a hundredfold. Father, I thank you that their faith will grow. Father, there will be testimonies. My God, I worship you because you are good, you are mighty to save, you are mighty to deliver. You are wonderful God and you are mighty. Bless them, guide them. I speak healing to those who are sick in their bodies. My God, give them favor, those who want favor. Those who don't have jobs, give them jobs. Those who want to have children, my God, open their wombs, Father. We bless you, we worship you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.